R. Augustine's Book of James vom Album Rise, Your Sunken Ships. Ein Lied, das auch untergebracht wurde in einem Film, den wir euch an dieser Stelle vorstellen möchten. Ein Film, der heute Abend nochmal Premiere feiert. Im Babylon Mitte. Es geht um Melanie aus Germany. Die ist in einem kleinen englischen Kaff gestrandet. Ihr zukünftiger Ehemann, den man im Film aber nur hört und niemals zu Gesicht bekommt. Er ist dort erfolgreicher Künstler und so ein Galerienliebling. Melanie hingegen hat nicht so viel zu tun. Sie hat bisher weder einen Job gefunden, noch erwähnenswerte soziale Kontakte geknüpft, als ihr der alternde Gangster Ray, gespielt von Rob Knighton, über den Weg läuft. Und mit dem entwickelt sie im weiteren Verlauf des Films eine besondere Entwicklung, die mit den Erzähltraditionen Hollywoods zum Glück nur wenig gemein hat. Und diese Beziehung führt dazu, dass beide über ihr Leben und die Möglichkeiten der Veränderung nachdenken. Everyone's Going to Die heißt der kleine, feine englische, vielleicht existenzialistische Indie-Film, in dem Nora Tschirner die weibliche Hauptrolle spielt, die weibliche Hauptrolle der oben erwähnten Melanie. Sie ist jetzt bei mir im Studio und sie hat den Regisseur des Films, Max Baron, mitgebracht. Hello to the both of you.
Hello.
Hello.
Tachchen. Tachchen. How are you doing today? Is everything alright so far? Du kannst auch gerne in Deutsch antworten. Ich stelle dir die Frage auf Englisch.
Yeah, exactly. Sorry, it's all in English. I didn't understand a word of what you just said, but it was all about the film.
I was asking, how are you?
Oh, yeah, I got that bit. Yeah. We're fine. We got stuck in a lift and went to the wrong address so far tonight.
Yes. Cool.
So we're here, which is a great start.
The first question of the last interview was, Nora, like, it's about like finding your way in life. When were you lost? So I was like, well, basically like all of today.
But and that sounds like a filmmaker's way of life, actually, right? You have to build up conflicts.
Drama,
you
know, total drama.
You can't just go straight forward into another interview situation and it's all going to be fine. There has to be conflict and drama in between.
That's exactly it.
That's what makes a good film.
It's an existential journey.
An existential journey, yeah.
What are we doing here?
Everyone's Going to Die is a beautiful little film. I love the tempo that it has and the fact that it doesn't disappoint expectations to some extent, at least for people who are used to watch the same formula, the same Hollywood formula used on various stories all over and over again. How important was working independently on this movie for the vibe of the film, for the tempo of the film, and for the special way the film tells a story?
Yeah, that, completely important. It's a really good question. Basically, what it allows you to do is just what makes sense to you and to create something that ends up the way you want it to be. And I think, obviously, all those stories you talk about that have a very sort of similar structure in a way, do that really beautifully, and there's a really good reason to do that.
Mm-hmm.
And in this case, it wasn't really what we had in mind, and not having someone looking over your shoulder and not having someone trying to predict what the audience is going to think allows you to create something that surprises the audience a bit, and people hopefully, so far when they've seen the film, have really felt that they didn't quite know where it was going to go.
Yeah, I love that about the movie. Actually,
great.
Really.
Oh, well, thank you.
And the end, I didn't know. I won't spoil. I won't spoil the end now.
Sure.
But in the very end,
everyone dies.
I was like, maybe everyone is going to die, and I would have felt completely fine with that.
I did something wrong. it would be so nice.
I could have lived with that.
Okay,
ending,
okay.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, cool.
And if there had been another way of getting there, way, then it wouldn't have been possible. But
sure.
There could have been death in the end of the movie, but there isn't.
And maybe it is.
We
know.
Who knows?
Depends on the. So how did you get in touch with Nora, and how did you get in touch with the Jones Film Collective? What was the main reason for you to
They both happened at the same time. So we were obviously trying to cast the movie and looking at, and the character was a European character. We didn't necessarily have a nationality in mind, and we had a friend who kind of, luckily for us, managed to get it in front of Nora. And then we heard that she really liked it. We met on Skype, and at the time, we don't have that much of a background of German film where we are. So we were like, what's Nora's English like? I mean, she's obviously a great actress, but so we did this Skype call. And then her English is better than ours, so we were kind of like, okay, well, that's good.
So you went back to school, right?
Yeah.
To match her English?
By the time we came to the shoot.
Took a few extra years for the crew.
I don't think I'm there yet, but we'll keep trying.
Und wie war das für dich? War das für dich gleich eine einleuchtende Idee, auch mal in englischer Sprache in so einem kleinen Indie-Film mitzumachen?
Well, this was an amazing idea. das war für mich total. I have to tell in English, so Max, just because he's the most polite person in the world, and then you know?
Yeah, that's okay. Really sweet.
You're very, very welcome, Max. For me, it was amazing because all my dreams came true. I wanted to go to England for a year when I was 16 and my parents wouldn't let me. And I wanted to go close to Dover somewhere. And now okay. We shot like in Folkestone and these guys called me all of a sudden. And one other project just get like... shit had hit the fan, we would okay. say. So I was like completely frustrated. And then all of a sudden this English production gets to me and wants to meet me via Skype. And I was like, what is happening? And then like 2 weeks
later or
something. So the fact
that the script was really bad didn't luckily matter because she was desperate to go to the place that we were shooting.
I was like, I didn't even read it, to be honest.
It's in Dover? It's in Dover.
It's is it close to Dover? It's not Dover. Okay, well, where is it? Oh, Fulton, awesome. I mean, and then of course the script was amazing because, and it was the first time I just recalled today that I actually felt the urge to read something out loud while I'm constantly mumbling when I read something for which I could work maybe. But this time I really had to kind of go through dialogues all of a sudden because I just loved how it was written. And and then 2 weeks later we were shooting.
Yeah. Oh, wow.
That was it, yeah.
Cool. And then you just mentioned the little village, or it's more than a village,
it's
right?
A town.
It's a town,
really.
But a small town.
Yeah, correct.
And the people in the town, they get thanked all over the place. When the titles are on, it's like, thank you, and you as well. And there's been this other individual who helped us.
Sure.
Doing the movie there with the town people involved?
Yeah, it was massive. I mean, I'm from London, so is Mikey, who's the other part of Jones, and we shoot in London a lot, and I think it's probably like shooting in Berlin in some way that, you know, mm-hmm. people are busy, things are expensive. Yeah. Parking is hard.
Hate you for shooting.
Everyone hates you for everything. Yeah. So before you've even started,
and they should, because it's nice. We love that. And also, it's totally clear because none of these people ever watched a film in their whole lives. Yeah. So they're like, it's totally.
I don't need you.
I'll never
watch a movie. Never ever.
Yeah, and so the minute we got out of that and down to Folkestone, people just really wanted us to be there, and it was really as simple as that. It was really, really lovely. They kind of opened up to us. I mean, you touched on something about independent films earlier, which is you get to decide the credit sequence.
Yeah.
So like the chef is thanked like number three or something, I think, because he was
a big deal. And the gets an extra thing too.
Totally, yeah. It was everybody chipping in, and the people of Folkestone cool. like as much as anyone else, yeah.
I was watching a documentary on the first zombie movie, The Night of the Living Dead.
Okay, yeah.
By
George A. Romero.
George A. Romero.
Yeah.
And there's similarities actually between those two films, because that film was made with a super...
Stop here.
No,
you're giving it away.
Everyone is dead.
Yeah, everyone's already dead. That's the sequel.
That's exactly what I was talking about. Thank you. But it's been made with a super low budget, and they decided in which direction they wanted to go. There's been no studio telling them about the difficulties you might have with a zombie movie or something like that, and that's what made the movie so great. It's because they had their own vision of it, and they were able to realize what they had envisioned.
Yeah, exactly. There's definitely a freedom that comes with that. Obviously, you can't abuse that freedom. Like, mm-hmm. It doesn't mean you have a sort of 58-minute tracking shot of a goat or something, and because you want one, and it has, and it represents the fall of communism, or so, you know, like. So you still got to think about what the audience, wants, and that's why we're there. But no, that's 100% true. And, you know, like Spielberg's first movie, and I would never in a million years, by the way, compare us to Spielberg, but his first movie was Duel, where he went and just borrowed a whole film crew from a TV show that was shooting and was like, and the whole actors and everyone, he didn't cast anyone, he just went, there's these people shooting, they've got 6 weeks off, come and shoot a movie with me like round the corner.
Yeah.
And they just made it all up, and that's a cool way to work, and we really, really love that.
Yeah, and you're taking the collaborative way anyhow, because you're part of the directing and producing collective Jones.
Sure, yeah.
And I was like, okay, who's coming on Monday? It's Nora, okay, and no Nora, and then Max Baron is coming. I was watching a movie and looking for your name and the titles.
Yeah, sure.
This is only a Jones collective thing happening there.
Yeah.
Now that's interesting, because I mean, I was working at movies for a while. I was doing The Boom.
Oh, yeah.
And there was the only surrounding where I felt that hierarchy makes sense, kind of like, you know?
Yeah.
It makes sense that I have a guy who's my boss and he's telling me where to put The Boom.
Sure.
And his boss is a director and he's telling him where he should tell the boom operator to put the boom, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But how does it work to create a film as a collective?
Really in Jones there's two of us. And okay. We work with Kelly, our producer, really closely as well, and she's a big sort of other part of us too. But it's kind of, imagine your boss's boss, there were just two of them, and they got on quite well, and
they're handsome, and then
and talented.
Something you have to mention on the radio.
And they have a dream, and a message.
Massage. Sorry. And,
I think that's probably closer. Me and Mikey, like, people kind of often are like, oh, you know, so one of you does the camera and the other one does the actors, or, you know, and actually we can both be asked any question and give an answer to it. And it's just because, I don't know, it just works. And I think it really helps. Like, anyone who does anything creative must know, if you have someone to share stuff with and bounce it off, like, you know, like, probably at least 20-30% of your ideas are rubbish.
Yeah.
And it's good to just kill them before they go outside of the, like, immediate vicinity. So that person will just be like, no. And then you're like, oh, okay.
I don't think that there's too many people who are better when they're working all on their own. There may be some geniuses, you know, who have a portion of their soul somewhere where they can bounce off their ideas or something.
Yeah.
And their portion of the soul says, no, bad idea.
And people use their producers for that as well, I think, and producers are very important for it. But no, you're right. It's a lovely thing, not just as to create better work, but also it's more fun, you know, like anything in life, I think.
Before we talk a bit more, let's listen to a song that's in the movie, a song by a band named Prague. And it's a song about shopping. I love this song.
We didn't have any money. And it was like, what songs can we get?
Shut the fuck up. Matt's like, the biggest Prague fan since sliced bread. He's a total groupie.
I thought they were like forcing you to be in the movie with, like, no, we're going to use the music. Come on.
No, they said,
we don't have any money.
We don't have money, but come, and then we're going to put at least three songs in it. I was like, okay,
About Nora's musical kind of expertise, but I'll save it for after the songs.
Okay.
Drama. We're back to drama.
Teasing like a radio professional.
Sure.
Ja, der Einkauf war ganz wunderbar.
Schniff, ein schönes Lied. Ich finde es echt schön. Mhm. Prag mit Einkauf, ein Lied, das untergebracht wurde. In Thin, Everyone's Going to Die. Den kann man heute Abend sehen in Babylon Mitte bei einer Kinovorführung. Eigentlich im Prinzip bei einer Kinopremiere, die aber auch Derniere ist, muss man, glaube ich, sagen.
Ja.
Denn der Film wird so nicht in die Kinos kommen. It's a shame that that the movie has not found its way into the regular cinema
program. Look, we'd have loved to have done that. And obviously it did. In England and France and a few other places, but it's a very difficult thing to do unless you're going to spend a lot of money on advertising and things, and it's money that we don't have. But we really, really wanted people in Germany to be able to see it, because Nord did such a good job, and so hopefully, you know, iTunes or Amazon or wherever you want to go.
These are the two.
You can watch it. It's there in a bunch of other places. Yeah, okay. So any kind of on demand places you would get filmed, it should be there.
Okay.
And get angry. You can buy it on pre-sale already, but I don't know when it's actually out, which is information I should know. So our producer
directing part of the Jones Collective, right?
That's true.
The organizational part?
I mean, I'm useless.
If they don't show up.
I've come all the way from London to promote a movie that I don't know when it's out.
The one thing. You had one job.
Yeah. Oh, well, never mind.
The movie has been shot with a low budget. I think it's been £63,000 or something that you spent
about 65
on the movie,
which is €4.
Which is not much money. I mean, there's films made in universities by students who cost more money.
Yeah,
how is working on a low budget project like that for you? Because I mean, you're in the
I like that. I mean,
it's like coming down again.
It's like £50,000
was Nora's catering budget, wasn't it?
It's a joke. It's a big joke. I thought it was a joke actually. But that's why I signed the contract, because I was like, that's such a nice idea.
We talked about the freedom that a film has when there's not a studio involved and where it's not too, the budget is not too big. Have you felt that too? Is it freeing as an actor too to not be working for different
money? It's freeing you of the weight of the money that is on your pocket when you walk home. And I don't know. Since I don't really feel the pr- treasure as in that position.
Yeah.
Like that would be would have been a different thing when I did my documentary, which was financed the same way. So I know that scenario and I totally understand the idea and I totally loved the spirit. And also what really makes it amazing for me is that everybody who will join, you know that they join for the right reasons.
Yeah.
So it's so of course it makes my work easier and I love working that way. If the people who decided to do it are also well prepared, you know, because you cannot then be unorganized if you do stuff like that. And in that case it was amazing.
There's another motivation, right?
Yeah, and I think that's a kind of really good point because it's a sort of myth that if you do something low budget and like kind of lo-fi and everything that you just sort of can rock up and see what happens. And actually it's the opposite of that. Yeah. You don't have to nail everything down because every second you spend on set costs you some money that you know you don't have much of. So the schedule has to be really tight. You have to be double organized.
There's a thing where you say you cannot have a thing that is good, cheap, and fast. So you either can have two combined, mm-hmm. but you know, like you cannot have good and
exactly
cheap.
Good, cannot, cheap, fast, pick two.
Thanks.
It's radio.
Good,
we've got to be quick, right?
That's what good, I thought we. Tell me that again, though. Good, quick, fast. What?
Cheap, fast.
Good, cheap, fast. Pick two. I'm gonna learn that. And that's exactly the same thing here. The way that was all prepared for me was amazing. We had like 10-hour days of working.
Cool.
That was I've never had that ever before or after again. And we could go to the pub every evening. Because even with the production meetings after that, we still had time to live. It was amazing. Yeah.
Yeah, it was like a big holiday actually for everyone. And it was lovely. One of the best things I've ever done. Yeah.
And cool. So absolutely focused lovely in work though, right? Yeah. Still because of that preparation part. So
The film has been premiered at South by Southwest 2 years ago.
Sure.
In 2013. So I guess you're both wound up in new projects already. Because Fassbinder once said, as soon as your new movie's in the cinemas, you have to finish the next one already.
Sure. Well, people obviously just funding his movies quite easily. And this was another time.
He was working with low budgets as well.
That's true. We've got another movie kind of in the pipeline, but unfortunately it's not finished yet. In fact, it isn't. We're just starting to sort of cast it now and a couple of other projects on the go.
You need some Germans for it? We can help you with that maybe.
We really want to work with Nora again, so we're trying to find another way. We're shooting something this week, but that doesn't really count.
We work together on something very small, but it's a different thing that we invent together. I'm, by the way, also directing and producing, and I have to brief him what he's... Yeah. I'm boss.
All right.
Yeah.
I mean,
I'll just do what I'm told.
Yeah, okay.
And we will definitely.
No money was in there. It was a myth. The whole thing we talked about, because Nora came up to the set and she was like, I'm boss.
That's what they kept telling me. They're like, no, Nora, actually, it's all your decision.
It's you too, yeah. You directed a bit, didn't you, in the film, actually, just off in the car with some people. And yeah, we decided she could be trusted.
Mm. Yeah, that's true.
Ah, cool.
But we definitely are going to work together in whatsoever form, because are you with me?
You found yourself like Melanie and Ray, kind of. Right.
I wouldn't really compare with that, but
I think I'm certainly at this stage able to pretend that I want to work together again. So I'm sustaining that.
To pretend that you want to work. Okay.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's enough for me, actually, as an actress. I'm not really looking for deep connection with people. So as long as people are faking it
deep connections for 6 weeks only, and then you'll never phone them again. Yeah. Right? That's how it works.
That's the film industry.
Aber Nora, gibt's bei dir noch was Erwähnenswertes, was so demnächst noch kommt?
I have to say it in English. If there's something here from my side, no.
Do you know a
Nora's going to be in? Was this a quiz? I didn't realize this was... I don't even know when my own film's coming out. And now I'm supposed to know about other people's films?
We're just trying to fill the gap in my head.
What are you in soon? What's Nora in soon? Well, you were in... Am I right in thinking Tartalk came...
Tartalk was last night. See, crazy. I was watching your movie.
Here we go.
Because I had this link that I could use.
Because Tartalk was on.
Boring.
You're like, what else is on? What's on repeat?
Same girl on repeat.
And with money. Shot with money. Yeah. Awesome. And so good.
And a bigger belly.
slightly. And we have, another Tatort, but that's only in April. So maybe I've been a bit lazy, I'm just thinking. But no, I just shot something, but that's going to be out in like 400 years. Nobody cares.
Ah, okay.
So we can all keep watching. Everyone's going to die every day on repeat
every day.
It's a beautiful film.
I want to
tell people out there to watch it. It's really beautiful.
Thank you very much.
It has a certain tone to it that I really love. That has to do with the thing that I mentioned in the beginning of the interview. There were no big studios involved. You can feel that there were people that were motivated to make a unique film, and it's become a unique film. So congratulations on the movie again.
Thank you.
So sad that it's not coming into, that's not finding its way into German cinemas, but you can see it tonight.
Is it completely, I think there's still tickets might be there
but
we can call Babylon and ask if there's still tickets if you want, and then you can just buy a ticket and go to the movie, and that's the last possibility ever.
Eine mache ich noch auf, und das ist die Möglichkeit, hier Tickets zu gewinnen bei Flux FM für den Film heute Abend. Everyone's Going to Die wird gezeigt in Babylon Mitte. Um spätestens 20 Uhr sollte man da sein. Max und Nora sind auch.
Früher müsst ihr da sein. Seven is the start, so don't be there at 8.
Okay.
Be there at quarter to seven.
Okay, alles klar. Nora Tschirn hat mich nochmal berichtigt. An dieser Stelle 7:15 sollte man also schon da sein am Babylon Mitte und sich den Film reinziehen. Everyone's Going to Die ist wirklich ein ganz, ganz toller Film mit einem ganz eigenen Ton und mit Nora Tschirner in der weiblichen Hauptrolle. Wer an Tickets rankommen möchte, ohne Eintritt zu bezahlen, der ruft mich jetzt an unter der 030-2009000. Berlin 2009000 ist die Nummer. Zum Glück, wir haben Tickets für den Film Everyone's Going to Die heute Abend im Babylon Mitte. 030-2009000 ist die Nummer. Zum Glück. Thank you for visiting.
Thank you so much.
Thank you for having
us. As soon as there's more and new stuff to talk about that goes out to the both of you, come back and visit us again. We'll do more.
We will, and we will take the stairs this time.
Yeah. So it's better. It's so sporty. It's sportier. Okay, thank you for visiting. 030-2009000 ist die Nummer, zum Glück. Und wer heute Abend gar keine Zeit hat und wer sagt, ich interessiere mich trotzdem für den Film, der kann sich darüber freuen, dass die Video-on-Demand-Geschichte quasi startet in dieser Woche. Da kann man im Netz nochmal gucken, bei iTunes, bei Amazon oder beim Filmehändler seines Vertrauens. Thank you again, bye bye.
Bye. Bye. Bye.